This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
It is the Christmas season, and most of us probably celebrate the season by giving gifts. So that's normal during the holiday season. And do you have people in your life who give the same predictable things every year? So in my mind, two illustrations come to mind. My dad's mom, so that would be my paternal grandmother, had this idea in her mind that I liked this thing called green top jello salad. And so it had marshmallows with like an orangey thing, and then on the top it was lime green jello. And she was convinced that I loved this, and I never ate it. She would make this every year and say, "Oh, Philip, I've made this for you, and this is just for you." And I was like, "Okay, Grandma, thank you." And, you know, like, my parents, I'm young. And then I became a teenager, and, you know, finally one of these days I just told her, "I don't like this. I don't know why you're making it." And it's like a family story of lore now that everybody remembers, like, "I can't believe you said that to your grandma." So that's one thing. And then on my mom's side, my maternal grandmother, every year for Christmas, there would be something under the tree for everybody who was getting gifts, and it would say it was from Mrs. Claus, and it would be undergarments. So that's just what you want to open up in front of all your family, right? So it was perfect. But the same predictable things happened every time. It was something, obviously, undergarments were something that everyone needed, but you could count on those things. They were certain. And our church has been studying Luke's gospel this Advent season. Luke's been writing to give people certainty about all they've been taught about Jesus. Just like those gifts are certain every Christmas, the Bible has certain promises. The Bible's given to us so that we can have certainty about these things that we've heard about Jesus. And of course, Luke begins by telling us this story about Jesus being born. We've seen a pattern to this story as we've read these opening chapters, that something is promised to someone, that promise is fulfilled, and then there's all kinds of praise around that being fulfilled. So last week we were in Luke 2 with Jesus being born. Angels appeared to shepherds in the field, announced that Jesus was born, and this was good news of great joy for all people. So that was the announcement happened in chapter 1, the fulfillment happened in chapter 2. And as these shepherds got that news and saw the fulfillment with this baby who was born in a manger, there was praise. They returned from all that they had seen and heard, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. And so now we pick up the action in Luke chapter 2 in verse 22. So if you want to look there with me. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that is Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So we wrap up this morning, and I want to focus on that blessing that Simeon gave about this Christ child. this baby who was born, about Jesus. And in this blessing, we see why Jesus came. We're given certainty about something, about why Jesus came. And in his coming, Jesus is bringing saving certainty. So we have certainty about what he's coming to do, what he's coming to save us from. And we see, first of all, that Jesus' coming brings peace. That's the notes are in your notes there at the top. It says the prayer, the blessing that Simeon gave. And he said at the start of that, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." So Simeon was so wrapped up in seeing this promise fulfilled that God had promised him, "You're going to see this. You're going to see this promise fulfilled. It's going to happen. Like, I've given you a promise. You're going to see it fulfilled." And then this is the praise that he's given God for this. He affirms that he can go in peace now because God has kept his word. So you might say that Simeon's life was unsettled until he met Jesus, or he was in a state of unrest. And that's probably the case for some of you. You come into this room today and your life is unsettled. You're in a state of unrest. There's things that you know peace is the aim, but peace is elusive. You know there's relational turmoil that you're experiencing. There's all kinds of things that are going on in your life. And Simeon's saying the reason Jesus came was to bring peace, not he's undoing unrest. He's undoing all this unsettledness that we have in our souls by bringing peace. That's what he wants to describe your life. And maybe your relationship is what you need with Jesus. Maybe just to look to Jesus is what you need in this season to get peace. Further, Jesus brings certainty when it comes to sight. So he says here, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples." So sight foils blindness. Simeon would say that now his eyes had seen God's salvation. We know this is what Jesus came to do. In fact, we sing of it. Most of you know that really popular song, "Amazing Grace." "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." You know, Jesus comes and like the blinders fall off. When we see him for who he is, all the blindness we have in life is undone. Our natural state closes our eyes to all these realities that are found in Jesus. And having eyes that see God's salvation means that there was a blindness that characterized us before, but no longer are we living in that blindness. Now we can really see. Now we can see life for what it's meant to be. We can see relationships for how God intended. We can see people for how they're meant to be, because Jesus is undoing all that wrong. He's removing the blindness, and he's giving us sight to be able to see that. Third, Jesus' coming means light. Simeon blesses God and says, "I've seen your salvation. You've prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles." So he sees God's salvation as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, or to the nations. A light for revelation is essential. You know, this time of year, like many of you, you know, you wake up with that mucus burning the back of your throat. Or maybe you've taken kids to the doctor like everybody else in Reno County over the last few weeks. I've been there, I think, with three of my kids. And the reason we have to go to the doctor is because I don't have the ability to look into the darkness of their ear and know what's going on. I don't have the ability. I mean, I know my phone light is bright, but I can't make sense of what's going on in the back of their throat or in their nasal cavity with my iPhone light. No, I need to go to the doctor. And what the doctor does is he pulls out this special tool. Isn't it called like an otoscope? Yeah. So it has a light on the end of it. And he looks into that. And with that light of revelation, he's able to make a diagnosis and tell me exactly there's a lot of stuff built up in the back of the throat there. Or isn't this great? Isn't that why you came on a Sunday morning to hear about mucus and pus pockets and snot running down? You know, this is so great. This is just organic stuff. Perfect. But that's what the light shows. He's able to make sense of that. Oh, that looks a certain color. And like whenever they say green mucus, I'm like, do I have to know this? Looks like infection. But no, the light reveals that. The light illuminates what's going on in the navel cavities. And what all people need is a light to come to remove the darkness. They need a light to come on that shows how dark we really live. And in this case, the light is the clear revelation, or revelation, another way to describe that would be God's disclosure. God's laying his cards on the table and saying, see, I have nothing to hide. You can see what life is meant to be. There's all this darkness, but I'm illuminating it for you. Life can be found in me. Life can be found in Jesus. So in Jesus, salvation is moving near all people. They need the light of revelation to see him for who he is. And Simeon's saying, thank God, salvation has come for all peoples. It's a light of revelation for the nations. And fourth and finally, Jesus coming points to glory. It's for the glory to your people Israel. Now Israel separated out from all the other nations because God's been dropping these promises on them since the beginning. The Old Testament is a story of unrealized promises where God has been dropping it down for them to get it. Are they gonna get it? Things like one of David's sons is always gonna be sitting on an eternal throne. And it's like, well, who's that gonna be? Zerubbabel? Solomon? Is that gonna be him? And well, no, Solomon turned out to be a train wreck. I mean, some of us can barely manage one wife, let alone 700, you know. Solomon, that's not the guy. Promises like that, or that one of Eve's children will trample Satan's intentions. Well, who's that gonna be? Cain? Abel? Seth? I mean, which one of those children are gonna do that? Trample all of Satan's intentions for mankind. So God's been dropping these promises on Israel. And all these promises, like a chosen one's gonna come. There's gonna be a chosen one who's gonna emerge. And we know that in Jesus, all of God's promises are yes and amen. That's what the New Testament tells us, that all of God's promises, Jesus is the fulfillment of all that. Jesus is the one who's gonna be David's son and sit on a throne forever. Jesus is the one who's gonna trample all of Satan's intentions. Jesus is the chosen one. In fact, that's what Christ means, that he's the Messiah, that he's the one that embodies all of God's promises. And so Simeon's saying, this is glory to your people Israel. All the unrealized promises are met in him. And it's glorious. He's here. It's finally the culmination of everything is here in Jesus. All people should know the glory if they could see God's promises fulfilled in Jesus like Simeon saw. So that's the simple outline today. Peace, sight, light, glory. They point us to what Jesus came to do when he came to save. He came to turn the light on. He came to foil unrest with peace. He came to give sight to blindness. And yes, he did that physically by healing people who were blind, but he also does it spiritually. Every day, one of us wakes up to the reality of what life is meant to be in Jesus. He's turning the light on in our souls so that we can really see. And ultimately, he's fulfilling all these promises. And the result of that is glory to Jesus forever. Glory to God in the highest, as the angel said. And on earth, peace among those with whom he's pleased. So as a church, we want you to get in on this. We want you to know Jesus. And we want this to consume you to such a degree that you want others to know about this great reality. And so that's what we're inviting you into this very season. Would you know Jesus? Would you press in to know him? Would you delight in him? Would it overflow out of your heart and soul? And after the service, we'll have some of our leaders up here at the front. If you need someone to pray with you or just talk with you, we'd love that chance. Well, we want nothing more than for you to know Jesus and know the change that he brings into lives. And that doesn't mean that we've arrived. That doesn't mean that we're perfect and got our acts together. We're train wrecks just like you. But we just want you to know Jesus and the hope that he brings to life. And so if we could serve you in that way, we'd love that opportunity. Thanks so much for being here today. Let's press in to know Jesus that we could glorify and enjoy him forever.